sometimes we struggle with memory. That was the best you're going to get out of me this morning, guys, right there. I thought I'd throw that out there, see if you're with me. But remembrance is so, so important. I want to start by reading Psalm 42 because I'm going to unpack a little of that in the time that remains. So let me just read the psalm. Precious psalm. There's far more in it than I'm going to pull out of it this morning, but I've seen some things I hadn't seen before. And it begins with the familiar, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, and while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. And actually, to be fair, we should read on through chapter or through Psalm 43 because they are originally part of the same psalm. You notice Psalm 43 has no title. They were originally one together, and for some reason they've been divided. But the tense is the same. Hope in God. I will yet praise him. I need his presence. I long and hunger for more of him. Even when despair circumnavigates me, I will not be lost to it because I will remember. I remember when I worshiped. I remember where I stand. Let me speak into a few of those things as we go. First of all, we sing the chorus, as the deer pants for the water, and we resonate with it. You know, it's just because it speaks to us, pretty much all of us, pretty much all the time. Just want more of God. It gives us pause, doesn't it? It just allows us to stop and remember who we are and who he is and how much we need him. But then it goes on in verse 4. It's a beautiful verse. These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with joy and thanksgiving. I love that because you can almost hear this son of Korah as he writes this psalm. Perhaps this is after Solomon's temple has been destroyed and he's remembering those golden days, those wondrous days, those astonishing days that at the time were almost taken for granted. But now he recalls them with advantage and he thinks to himself, wow, what a wonder it was to go up that Solomon's staircase, to go up the hill to the top of Mount Zion and to worship God in the glorious presence and in the wonderful surrounds of that amazing construction built under the wisdom and guidance of God. What a glorious thing. And then you and I recall this morning that in fact that's a mere shadow of a reality that exists in heaven, isn't it? Hebrews is very clear that the worship in the tabernacle and the temple were mere shadows of a reality that exists in heaven. And so to remember those things is in fact to remember realities that we've never experienced in time and space, to remember things that we can barely dare say we've forgotten because, well, we don't think we've ever been there. And yet it strikes a chord within us. In Matthew 16, Jesus has just come down off the Mount of Transfiguration with his disciples, and they're crossing the sea, and he gets a little frustrated with his disciples. They've just fed the 5,000, and And they're a little nervous. The boys are a little nervous that they'd forgotten to bring bread. They'd forgotten to bring food. You remember the story. I'm not going to really unpack that, but there's something in it I want to pull out this morning where Jesus is saying, beware the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. Yeah. And then the disciples get into a conversation about, oh, we forgot to bring lunch. You know, I think Bill Johnson's preached a beautiful sermon on that once, whereby he says, Jesus comes to them and says, you know, you men of little faith, hey, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? So Bill unpacked that in this way, that where faith fails, you can default to understanding. Where understanding fails, you can default at least to memory, to recall. And it's a wonderful message, and it's a true message. But I want to see a different slice of that here this morning, where I'm suggesting to you that faith can be defined by understanding and remembering. He says, oh, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you not understand? Don't you remember the 5,000 that were fed? Almost defining faith as somehow incorporating both understanding and remembrance. And what I want you to get this morning is that remembrance is the fuel for faith. And the outcome of faith is understanding. And the consequence of all of that is a new perspective, new priorities, aligning our lives with the purpose of God, coming into His presence, a passion for His presence. Remembering is the fuel for faith. It will maintain your faith on a daily basis. The consequence of faith rising will be understanding, out of which we gain perspective and priority, the priority of all, above all, which is to press into God's presence. And we see it all in this beautiful psalm. Hey. First of all, the psalmist remembers. Hey. In Ecclesiastes 3 and 11, there's that wonderful verse, He's made everything beautiful in His time. He's also set eternity in the hearts of men. I've always loved that verse. Have you? It speaks something profound to us that we haven't quite yet tapped, and I certainly don't think that we're going to tap it today, but I have some things I want to speak out of that as well. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God has made all things beautiful in its time. It has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Now, what does that mean? To have eternity set in your heart. I think out of that, that is the root of our frustration with time to begin with. Yeah? You are made for eternity. You have eternity in your heart. Eternity speaks of timelessness. Yeah. Then, you know, thus we are all frustrated with time. We're all running out of it all the time. We need more of it. Need more of it on a Sunday morning. Okay. Want to worship forever. And also declare the announcements God has given us. Yeah? So it's frustrating for us. We're always looking at our watch. We're always growing weary. All of these things are contrary to the wiring God placed in us when He spoke us into being. And we're only, as we come toward God and we become more beautiful and more like Him, we're more and more aware that that's the way we are intended to live, in a timeless condition, not bound or frustrated by limits. God has placed eternity in our hearts. In Revelation 2 and verse 5, we are enjoined to remember the height from which we have fallen, repent and do the things we did at first. How can we remember the height from which we have fallen if we barely recollect where we were? What I'm trying to say to you guys is there's something more going on here than poetic language. God has set eternity in your heart. You were at a height, according to Jesus' own estimation in Revelation 2, and you fell from that. And He's encouraging us to remember that height. What height? What height? You know, there's in science today, there's research are discovering what we might call DNA memory. Yeah? In a more specific field, it's called transplant memory. Have you heard stories about this? Sure you have. Sure you have. A young person gets a transplanted heart, and they come to, and they wake up, and they recover, and all of a sudden they have a propensity for things they never had a propensity before. They hated classical music when they went into surgery. They came out loving classical music, only to discover that the heart donor was a violin player. I've read another story about a young person who received a transplanted organ and all of a sudden had a passion for motorcycle riding. And whenever they went out on the back of their friend's motorcycle, they felt as free as they ever had felt, only to discover that the donor was an avid cycle rider. Yeah. There's something going on here. It's not, ooh, you know. It's not, oh, you know, it's not new age. It's not sorcery. It's the way we are made. We are, in fact, in one of the research articles I wrote, the conclusion was, in fact, he says, it shows once again that man is very obviously much more than the sum of his body parts. Yeah. Yeah. They can even measure the electromagnetism of your heart from meters away. And we know that our hearts actually contain neural sensors that rival our brains. We've had this teaching before. And our stomachs. They feel. They remember. And your heart, literally, that organ, apparently, we're only discovering as we catch up with God, is the container, is the holder of memories. And if that is true, if it can go from one anonymous donor to an anonymous recipient, and it can transfer memories or propensities or, in many cases, yes, trauma. But here I want to speak about, if the trauma is also true, then the blessing resides there as well. Then what happens, brothers and sisters, when we take the body and blood of Jesus? Hey, it's more than a simple remembrance. Hey, it's a transplant, and it comes with memory. And that is why I've often wondered why you can take people to Israel for a 10-day tour, and all of a sudden they feel at home there. And they come away homesick for the rest of their life. Not everybody. And that's no indictment against you if you've been to Israel and don't long to go back. All right? But as a general rule, believers who have been born again have a DNA inclination, a propensity. They have a residual memory about which Jerusalem speaks, as does no other city. And so they arrive there into fallen, smelly, messy, horn-honking, violence-ridden, divided, contested Jerusalem. And they go, I'm home. And they've never been there before. And then they carry this heartache for the rest of their life unless God lets them go back again. Where the heck does that come from? It comes from the fact that we have been born again with blood that is not our own. God has placed eternity in your hearts, and so I'm saying you have memories of heaven that you don't know you have. And it activates when we come into worship. We're coming into the presence. We come into the halls of heaven. We boldly come before his throne. Angels are round about. This is not just poetic language. These are not euphemisms just to cuddle Christians. These are realities that we are increasingly stepping into and laying hold of and declaring and saying, yes, amen, it's who I am. That is the world I live in and out of. Yeah. It's true. It's not fairy tales. And we've lived with them for so long, we don't even know half the time when we substitute fairy tale for faith. We're just familiar with it. And we think, oh, it's all, yeah, I believe that. You believe it in the way you believe in the emperor's new clothes or Cinderella. And forgive me for saying that. I didn't mean to say you. I say we. God, wake up real, true faith in us. How do we stir faith? Remembrance fuels faith that results in understanding. And understanding is the very thing that transforms us into people whose main passion is God's presence. Let me read what I've read so far, even from the Passion version, just because it's just so beautiful. And you deserve to hear it, at least part of it from this version. For the pure and shining one, the contemplative poem for instruction by the prophetic singers of Korah's clan. That's pretty cool right there. I like that. I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. My longings overwhelm me with more of you. My soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. There's no word in Hebrew for presence. The word is panim, which is face, and it's a plural word. It means a multiplicity. There are facets of God and his presence. The face speaks of God's presence. Day and night, my tears keep falling and my heart keeps crying for your help while my enemies mock me and over saying, where is this God of yours? Why doesn't he help you? Prophetically, this, of course, is a picture of Jesus on the cross, isn't it? And he is the one whom we imitate. He's the one that went before. It's in his footsteps that we follow. Jesus is leading us across treacherous ground, and he said to us, step where I step. Okay? Track with me. Don't make your own way. For years, I guided hikes in the wilderness, and I'd really get ticked off if the young high school kids following me through pristine forest and beautiful moss-covered ground would get off the trail I was carving with my big, huge Vibram-soled boots, and everyone want to make their own trail and ruin this forest. Say, no, stay in line. Track with me. Step where I step. Not just for some, you know, actually well-founded sense of care for the forest, but when you get out of the forest and you get onto glaciers, or you're crossing streams, or you're crossing logs, you want them to step where you step because you know it's safe. And if they make their own way, they're going to mess up. They're going to break legs. They're going to fall over waterfalls. They're going to get lost. They're going to leave a trail of destruction. Hey, Jesus says, track with me. Now, he's been there. Psalm 42 is his psalm. From the cross, I dare say he was remembering, not going to the temple in Jerusalem as a young boy with his parents. He was remembering the glory he had with his Father before the world was made. I long to be there. How long to be with you, Father, again? But I've still got to go through this. And while he's remembering that, they're shouting, where's your God? Yeah. And so he's inviting us to follow him. And he's encouraging us this morning by his Spirit to remember where you've fallen from, to remember where you are from, to remember what you are made for, to remember what you have in fact experienced. Stir up the memory within you that comes by my blood. You're part of the family. Jesus says, it's who we are. Hey, we long for the courts of the Lord. Hey. No, closed it again. I wanted to read a little more. Okay, hang on. I'm going to do that anyway. Not the whole psalm. I want to come and see the face of God. Day and night, my tears keep falling. My heart keeps crying out for your help while my enemies mock at me over and over saying, where is this God of yours? Why doesn't he help you? So I speak to my brokenhearted soul. Take courage. Remember. Take courage. Remember. When you used to be right out in front, leading the procession of praise, when the great crowd of worshipers gathered to go into the presence of the Lord, they shouted with joy as the sound of passionate celebration filled the air, and the joyous multitude of lovers honored the festival of the Lord. Hey, it's heaven. It's heaven. And Jesus remembers. And so ought we too remember. Hey, we have a God-given capacity to remember. And it's right here on this table. It's right here on this table. A God-given capacity to remember where we're from, who we are and whose we are, what we're for, where we're headed. All the identifying marks that human beings long for and outside of Jesus struggle to discern and wrestle with, and they're provoked to make wrong choices to satisfy all of those longings, but you and I in Jesus find them all satisfied. You know who you are and whose you are and from where you've come and to where you are going and what you are here for. And it informs your decisions. So it's not just about getting, you know, a second car and paying off the mortgage and just getting through life. That is all plug-in stuff to an individual who's been reborn, now a citizen of heaven. Now you have a mission to represent Jesus to a world. There's looking for a reason to have hope. And if that hope, if that message of hope comes all mixed in with anxiety and fear and all the stuff that they're familiar with, they're going to go, well, I don't know, trade this for that, same. Hey, it's It's got to be a clear message. And it will not be clear until we know who we are, until we remember where we've come from and to whom we belong. Yeah. Memory informs our faith and results in understanding. Hey. Five times in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord enjoins Israel to remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Not to whack them down and say, you're just slaves, just, you know, remember, you're not much. You were only slaves. The point is, he's saying, remember you were slaves in Egypt, and look what you are now. Look what I have done with you. Hey, remember how far you've come. Remember the goodness of God. Remember the favor of God. Remember how he never failed us. He never left us. The clothing didn't wear out. The shoes didn't wear out. The food didn't wear out. We were married. We are married to him. Remember. Okay? Remember, we are not slaves. We are free. We are friends. We are sons. That's we have to declare that over ourselves daily, brothers and sisters, because we are prone to forget. And then we're prone to forget what we've forgotten. It's just the way it is. And as a consequence of faith stirred up by memory kindled, we long for his presence. So go back to Psalm 42 and verse 5 and read, why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence, his face. Oh, I long for his face. I long to be encompassed by him, to sense him all around me. Oh my God. My soul is in despair within me. Therefore, listen, again, another remembrance. He stirs up memory, but this time it's different. The first time it was for heaven, if I can say that. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? He's remembering the worship at the temple. We understand that's a deeper understanding. There is stirring up the memory, that transplant memory of heaven, of what true worship is all about. You with me? Yeah? But this time, I remember, he says, I remember you from the land of the Jordan, the peaks of Hermon, Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. What's this memory? This isn't about temple. This isn't a shadow of things in heaven, things greater realities. This is just heaven. This is just earth now. He's standing in the middle of the promised land. He's looking at Mount Hermon, Mount Mizar, the Jordan River. And from that reality, encased in time and place, he's remembering God's goodness. So I believe, dear friends, this speaks of believers who've already entered the promised land, their existence. This isn't for someone who has yet to surrender to the love of God, someone who has yet to claim Jesus as Lord and Savior. This is for those that declare, he is my master, he is my king and my best friend. And so we stand in the promised land, and now comes not memory of heaven, hey, to stir up our faith and our passion for the presence, but now a memory that leads to understanding, because now we look at the mountains. And how many times have you gotten out into the wilderness, or, you know, the waste places, so-called, of the earth, or been to the southern island of New Zealand, or seen a raging river, or a soaring mountain peak, and you take a deep breath, and understanding fills your soul. It's not just poetry anymore. Or when you got out at night and you saw Jupiter and Venus nearly colliding the other night, and you didn't even know what you were looking at, but you saw these two lights, and you thought, wow, that's astonishing. Or you got up like I did this morning to walk the dog, and for the last couple of mornings, the full and waning moon is just setting in a pink and periwinkle sky while the sun is rising, and you just got to stop and you go, wow. And understanding threatens your world. God, you're more beautiful. You're more amazing. You're bigger than I've ever been able to articulate. Yeah. You guys with me? So the psalmist here, not thinking of heaven, not thinking of worship, now think just looking at nature, looking at the mountains, looking at the Jordan, and understanding invades his soul. And the consequence of both here follows when he says, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. Now that I've stirred up my faith with a memory of your presence, a memory of what I was made for in heaven and was reflected here on earth, now that understanding has flooded me, that I'm looking all around me and I'm seeing that you are infinitely more than I've actually understood, that I'm struck with your wonder and your ways. Now, he says, oh, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfall. And in most cases, we understand this as a billowing of despair or sorrow over the psalmist, which God has an antidote for. But I believe it's both sorrow and joy. And you will have experienced this. When you finally pause, when you're finally struck, you've stirred up your faith through memory and understanding comes. And you're in the midst still, the circumstances haven't changed. He's still surrounded by gainsayers and people challenging him to make manifest this God of his. Yeah? He's still under pressure from the ways of the world, but he's finally come to this place of understanding. And you've been there too. And when that comes, when you have that deep breath, where you surrender to God again, to his largeness and beauty, even as we did in worship this morning, all of a sudden several things happen. One, if it's necessary, is it will expunge. You will find yourself freely releasing your grief and your sorrow. Sometimes it comes in tears, and sometimes for no reason, because you've just bottled up. You've restricted your walk with God. You've been wayward. You just haven't seen a way forward, whatever it might be, for ill or good or for sin or just the caprice of living in a fallen world. And you bottle this up, and finally, in that moment, it flushes. You ever been there? And it almost simultaneously, you're just inundated with a sense of God's goodness. While you weep, you're just full of joy. It's an amazing gift that is given to believers to reconcile joy and sorrow at the same time, tears and laughter at the same time. I officiated at a memorial yesterday of a friend of the community, and the children were crying and laughing at the same time. It was a believer's funeral. There's nothing more fun, really, to do, because it's just so simple with believers. And yet there they sit, weeping and laughing at the same time. And so here too, deep calls to deep at the sound of thy waterfalls, all of thy waves and thy billows, they wash over me. I'm just aware of my own brokenness. Lord, just wash it from me. Flush it out of me, God. And then I'm buoyed up on the amazing, beautiful presence of understanding once again who God is and who I am. And he carries me for a season. Yeah, and he's carried you for a season. And at those moments, his presence is all that we long for. As a consequence of all this, it's longing to see his face as he refreshes us. And so, dear friends, as the psalmist here, so you take courage. Nehemiah 4:14 says, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Okay. Take courage. So if you have enemies, remember God is the one who will fight for you. Take hope. Psalm 22 and verse 27, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. Oh, pray that one through. All the ends of the earth, not some, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of all the nations will bow down before him. Take hope, brothers and sisters. God will get glory for himself. It does not depend on my broken attempts to go out and evangelize Nambour. Nevertheless, we will do it. Oh, but increasingly with all of our heart and all of us together giving an undiluted and unadulterated vision of Jesus to the world around us so that they too can know the hope that we have. But thank God, he will finish the job. Yeah. Take hope. Everyone will remember. Remember what? the very thing that has been placed in them, eternity, in their hearts. They'll turn to it. They're in, hang on a second. Yes, there is a God. In Romans chapter 1, Paul berates unsaved mankind for suppressing the truth. What is the truth? God made you. God made you for him. And men exchange the truth for lies. They suppress the truth. And that word is a curious one, that idea of suppressing the truth. It speaks of a truth that wants to be heard, a truth that wants to be expressed, a truth that wants to be used by the Holy Spirit to turn us to the Lord. And yet men suppress that truth. They, in order to suppress a truth, you have to hear it. You have to acknowledge it. No. See? But the memory is there. And one day God's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Oh, dear Jesus. And we can't imagine what it's going to be like. Not just 167 Hindus standing in for 2 hours and waiting for the church doors to open. As glorious as that is. It's going to be Nambour crowded with lines trying to get into any church that's available. Any gathering of believers, whether it's official or unofficial, any place where they have at one point had some truth sown into their lives, or they've brushed against a life that had hope in it, they'll return to that. They'll remember and go, where was that person? Where was the source of that hope? And they'll run back to it. And there will be lines of people saying, please, somebody ask me the question. I'm ready to get saved. You know, we won't have to sing. We won't have to do a long sermon. We won't have to have an altar call. We'll simply say, yes, Jesus loves you. And they'll be all over it like jam on toast. The harvest, you know, the reapers are going to overtake the sowers. And, you know, inevitably, the sowers are going to go, no, you can't come here. We're still sowing. There's an order to this. We have to say, wait, stop. I'm sowing. Don't step on that. I just put that there. You know? And God's going to be laughing and pulling his beard out and just being patient, you know. As the heart, here's the reapers, I mean, the sowers just sowing their seed, and here come the harvesters, out of the way, boom, boom, boom. And the fruit is going to be springing up faster than we can sow the seed. But we have to be ready. And if we, who have known the Lord for how many years? Come on, it's scary to even contemplate. If we've known the Lord as long as we have, and we're still trying to get this right, you know what's going to happen? Brand new believers are going to blow right by us. But that's okay. We want that to happen. In the meantime, let's make sure that we have become all that we are intended to be. Stirring up by way of memory our faith so that we step into understanding, so that our highest priority is his presence. And as often as is needful, let him wash over us with joy and with sorrow until we are like Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, remember him. Remember Jesus. Paul says to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Remember Jesus, beautiful Jesus, fragrant, light-filled, laughing, strong, striding across our world with unflinching purpose and courage, reigning now in glory and anticipation, in love with you, waiting to come. Father, is it time yet? Now. And the Father's saying, almost. It's just about. Oh, anticipation is half the fun. So we'll come to the table, and forgive me for taking long this morning. We're taking Jesus into us, his heart, his blood, his memories, his propensities, his likes and dislikes, his history becomes our history. Yeah. And we do it by faith. We take a bare tweezer full of bread and a little drop of grape juice. It's absolute foolishness. It just really is, but for faith. And Jesus himself, who said, this is my body, this is my blood. And when we take in the flesh and blood of another individual, we take in DNA memory. Hey. And what Jesus is, you become. We're discovering now in a very real way, not just in the spirit, but in a very physical way. Ezekiel 36 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You'll obey Jesus because you want to, because it's who you are now. A new heart, a transplant with all the memory of heaven. That's why you long for heaven. That's why we long for worship. That's why we need to be together when we come like this. Colossians 1:27, what is it? Christ in you, hope of glory. And it's not, again, not just poetry. He's in us. He's coursing through our veins. He's transforming our flesh. Thank you, Jesus. And so what we're about to do, we do in remembrance of him. Yeah. In remembrance of him. So that faith can rise. Understanding can come. And our passion becomes his presence increasingly. Lord, wash over us. Just take a moment, guys, where you are. Get before the Lord. Hey, Noah, come up here for a second. I'm going to beg your patience just for another second, because I want to share a song with you that's one we've loved. It's a simple little chorus. John, just turn that one off for me. I just want you to remember what God has done for you. Just take a few minutes. Just recount. Do a little litany. Do a checklist, whatever it is. How far God has brought you. You don't have to do spiritual archaeology. I'm not asking you to get out, you know, an excavator and try really hard to remember something good. If you can't remember something good easily, come talk to Pastor Dave. You just need the Holy Spirit. You really, really do. So just consider for a minute the goodness of God. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Sing it with me, guys. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. No longer. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. Yoke is easy, his burden is so light. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. No longer, no longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. Yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. Yoke is easy, his burden is so light. His burden is so light. You're lifting my load. 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 You're lifting my load.
lifting my load, you're lifting my load. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. The yoke is easy, his burden is light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. The yoke is easy, his burden is so light. His burden is so light. I just want to invite you to come to the table. Do it in faith, guys, and expect transformation. Even allow vision to flow from it as memories are kindled of heaven, of the goodness of God, the face of the Father. If you need to do business with someone before you come, if you need to ask forgiveness or render forgiveness, do it for Jesus' sake.
Let's eat and drink in remembrance of him. Father, we thank you for your life coursing through our bodies now, your blood in us, your heartbeat, Lord, your heartbeat, Jesus. Oh, Father, we just declare in your name, we declare to ourselves, wake up, memories come alive, Lord, that faith can rise vibrant and full of fire. Faith unlike any faith we've enjoyed before, Lord God, compelling us to a deeper understanding and pressing into your presence, out of which, Father, we flow into the world ready to represent Jesus irresistibly. God, finish the work you've begun in us, we pray. We long for more of you. We long for more of you this day. And so we declare we have taken you within us. We've taken life and health and wholeness and courage, mighty God, until we see you face to face. Keep us. Lord Jesus, keep us in your saving grace. And give us no rest until we continue to press into your presence. Bless you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless. Come along tonight. We'll continue to press into his presence. God bless every one of you. Take courage, be strong, encourage one another, bless somebody before you go, give somebody a prophetic word, declare the truth over somebody's life. If you want a prophetic word from our teams, come up here. Prayer for ministry, any ministry needs you have here also, and bless you this afternoon.